Well, welcome. This is Randy from Straight Talk. I'm glad you're with me today. I'm going to talk about a simple concept of the spiritual gift called speaking in tongues. The questions we're going to have to face and deal with are, number one, what is the spiritual gift of tongues? And number two, what was God's purpose in giving this gift? What did God intend tongues to accomplish? Did God give this gift a time limit? In other words, has its use ceased for today? And also, do demons speak in tongues also? And if they do, how can Christians tell what is from God and what is from the devil if this is supernatural powers that are going on? Well, again, this is important and we need to think of it this way. We must use God's word to give us these answers. The Bible will answer itself, and therefore we must learn to use the whole Bible to explain to us what God is teaching us. Anytime we isolate sentences or short phrases out of their context, we can twist the Bible or any book or person to sound like they are saying something other than the actual facts. We don't want to do that. We want to be careful to search the Word. I know as narrow road followers of Jesus, you would want the same thing, to know the truth of God. So let's tackle the first question. What is the spiritual gift called tongues? We want to look back into the book of Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 through 20, and get some background. Let's see what it says. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We'll deal with the first part of Isaiah here, and in another later point we'll go back and talk about some of the rest of that idea. First, the words itself. The word whisper used here in the Hebrew means to coo or to chatter, to peep, to make real quiet sounds. And the word mutter means to mourn or murmur. And the whole idea is it doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's very weird sounding. So unknown tongues were common among the ancient pagan religions. The pagan priests spoke in secret mystical utterances that no one could understand, and that forced the common people of that day to totally rely upon them to understand what the gods were trying to tell them. These false leaders, these false prophets, used this to control and influence the native peoples. The community had to take the cultic leaders' word for what the gods were saying because they were unintelligible noises and sounds that special people were chosen by the gods to translate for them or help them understand, because it wasn't clear at all. It sounded weird. Now, in contrast to these demonic deceptions, when God's word speaks about human languages, it would use the word tongues. For example, in Isaiah 66:18, it says, For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Notice the word tongues is used for languages, nations and languages. The same usage is found in the New Testament. Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or ability to speak. So tongues in both Greek and Hebrew, the languages behind the Bible, the word means languages. And the word utterance in Greek is very clear. It means to enunciate plainly, to declare, to speak forth clearly, give clear utterance. So we know it's a difference between the pagans and what God's talking about. So here's the answer to question one. What does the Bible mean when it says one of the spiritual gifts is tongues then? Well, let's go very clearly point by point here. Point one. The word tongues must be understood to be plainly enunciated human language. Tongues is not noises or sounds or muttered syllables, which is demonic delusion, as we learn from Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20, and defined by the very Hebrew words of the scripture. Point two then, the church began with God filling the disciples with the Holy Spirit. And the event also included immediate physical evidences. Visible fire was seen over the heads of the crowd of believers. A sound of a wind storm was literally heard by the crowds. And the disciples spoke out loud, plainly and understandably, about the great things of God in various known human languages, so unbelievers could understand. And the disciples never learned these new languages through education, but it was a gift of God, it was a miraculous gift of God. So let's look further. Let's look at Acts 2, 6 through 12. Here the human languages are actually listed. In verse 6 it says, "And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Well, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Then how is it that we hear each of our own language in which we were born?" And then it gives the list starting in verse 9. "Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" What a sign to them. Something very supernatural was going on that they all could see. So here we see the non-Christian crowd was able to hear God's word in their own human languages through the spiritual miracle of God giving languages to his followers, or the gift of tongues. These local Jews from Galilee proclaimed truth in unknown languages to them that they never grew up with and were not taught by men. This was a miracle. Point three. The Greek word construction makes it plain the disciples continued with the ability to speak these languages. This was not a one-time event. The disciples were able to speak a different human language from that day forward. This point is made by the Greek verbs used and is very technical to the language. This is truly a miraculous gift from God. Nothing normal or natural here whatsoever. And then that leads me to point four then. Paul the Apostle gives further instruction that one way the Holy Spirit physically expresses or shows his powerful presence in a believer is through the gift of speaking a language previously unknown, and that's found in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. Another way is the ability to understand the language, not just the ability to blindly speak words that Christians would not even comprehend when they were speaking, like they're some kind of robot. Here's the list of manifestations of the Holy Spirit. This is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 10 here. First it says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." And then in verse 9 it goes on to say, "To another, all faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of the tongues," or an interpretation of the languages. In other words, manifestation in Greek, that word used is God manifesting himself or his spirit. It means to express, So this means God visibly expresses himself through the normal Christian in abnormal supernatural ways. Beyond human ability, God shows up and showers his people with his divine influence for the good of his glory and to bless his people. For example, at Pentecost, many of the 120 Christians in the upper room experienced new languages. But there is no evidence the 3,000 converts that followed spoke new languages. But we know from Paul, God alone chooses how and when he expresses himself through his church and warns them it is different from their past idolatry. What they're doing today has nothing to do with their old pagan past. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Here Paul warns that most of the Christians in the city of Corinth were once worshipers of idols from the Greek and the Roman temples. He warns that God does not work the same as they experienced with the demon gods they once followed. And they needed to be careful not to be deceived by their past false doctrines and practices. All those strange tongues and demon messages of their past were all false and misleading. They're not of God. Just because there are supernatural experiences, it does not mean that God is behind them. Just because someone comes to you and speaks words claiming and even believing they are a manifestation of the true God does not make it so. It could very clearly be a sincerely false informed person. Remember, Jesus warned in Matthew 7 that many sincere believers living like Judas Iscariot will be stunned when turned away from heaven. His explanation that just because they performed miracles and had spiritual gifts and used them in his name, it was not proof they really even knew him, because these things can and are duplicated by the devil. But as Jesus explains in verse 23 of chapter 7, "And then I will say to them openly," which means publicly, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands." So the devil would never use tongues to clearly preach the gospel to the lost. Instead, he would empower a fake believer to speak an unknown, strange-sounding language that no one even understands in a local church for the very purpose to deceive and pass on false doctrine. This sidetracks a church, causes division, and starts churches practicing doctrines that are literally taught by demons. Paul warned about this in 1 Timothy 4:1. "But the Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach." Believe me, the devil wants to destroy you and the church that you're part of. So point five, according to 1 Corinthians 12:11, various languages are given according to God's will. This is illustrated in Acts 2, where many groups of people are listed. And when you look at the list, you even find Judea listed. Well, since Judea is Israel, where most of the disciples were from at first, we see not every Galilean disciple of Israel spoke a different language than what they already spoke, because the Judean language is listed in that list of people hearing their scripture. Many Jews heard the good news in their own language also, not just those from all the other parts of the Roman Empire. And this means some spoke the same language they already used and were not, and they were, well, they were just as filled with the Holy Spirit as the rest of the saints who spoke with new languages. The point is, all people were able to plainly hear the truth from God Almighty. There was nobody excluded. God wanted all people of the world to hear the truth of Jesus. Therefore, different languages of the nations is what God gave to His church at Pentecost and continued after that day. But according to Paul, there's no formula that everyone must speak in different tongues to prove anything. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He Himself wills. 1 Corinthians 12:11. So let's get this clear. God's will for His divine purposes determines who experiences what and when He shows Himself with His spiritual gifts. He withholds His gifts when He thinks it is best. He exhibits a powerful gift or gifts when He determines that it will best turn sinners from their wickedness and strengthen His followers. No formulas are available, only His sovereign goodness displayed as He Himself sees fit in His amazing wisdom. So here's the conclusion to this first question. If anyone says they are speaking in God's giftedness of tongues, but cannot verify that it is a spoken human language, then it is not the biblical, Holy Spirit-filled language gift. It is either a mental invention or satanic spirits are deceiving that person or group of people. Let's go to the second question. That question is this: are languages a gift that is no longer being given by God? Well, we need to examine this passage from 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love never fails, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I even reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known. This is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians 8 through 12 of the verses. So, some want to use this scripture to say no one today can supernaturally be given the language of, say, Chinese, for example, if they were only brought up in English, or in fact, any other miraculous gifts, because they stopped after the New Testament was written down as a common concept among many Christians. Well, let's look at this first of all. Number one, first, the phrase, when the perfect comes, that is read there, it's in verse 10. Perfect does not mean the same in Greek as it does in English. A builder would use this word in the ancient time to say his project was finished, all done or completed. So think how Paul is speaking. He explains that today our knowledge, promised prophecies from the Bible and different languages will finish being used at the end of time when we enter into heaven. Everything we know now in this world is partial. But we need God's supernatural gifts today, but eventually, in the future, things will change. Now, is that accurate? Look at number two. Also in verse 12, it says face to face. And in heaven, face to face with Jesus, all our faith and truth becomes complete and finished. It's perfect then. Of course, then, there's no need for many things. But now today, God's Spirit still chooses if, when, and who He gives gifts. But remember, no formula, simply God's divine will as He reveals Himself and saves sinners. 1 Corinthians 12:11 again. Look back if you need to. In this life, we still only know in part and need God's divine influence to preach the gospel to mankind. Number three, and all these spiritual gifts are rarer than many would like. Remember, Jesus warns, again I say this in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, that many sincere believers who live like Judas Iscariot will be stunned when turned away from heaven. His explanation is that just because they could perform miracles and had spiritual gifts in His name, it was not proof they knew Him. He warns us these things can and are duplicated by the devil. But as Jesus explains in verse 23, this is from the Amplified Bible, "And then I will say to them openly, publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly, disregarding my commands." Well, I want to know, can you see that the proof of salvation is obedience, not spiritual supernatural gifts? I need to stop here and finish the next two questions in part two. So don't miss part two. We're going to answer the questions, do demons speak in tongues? And question four, what is God's purpose for the gift of speaking in tongues? And so remember, for more answers, go straight to the book, the Bible. And I want to thank you for watching Straight Talk for Narrow Road Followers of Jesus. If these messages have been a help to you, please I ask you to pass them on to others through your email, through Facebook or Twitter or some other communication way that you do that. Also, if you want to contact me, you can email me at randy@klptv.org. God bless you and have a good day with Him. Thank you.